This is episode 13 of the Super Cool Stuff Show for November 10th, 2008. Welcome to the Super Cool Stuff Show. I am your host, Terry Bartley. And first off, I'd like to apologize for being gone for a week longer than usual. I have been keeping myself busy, though. I'll get to that at the end of the show. But first, I'd like to talk about the big news going on right now, and that's that we have a brand new president-elect, and it's the candidate that I was supporting. That's right, Barack Obama is the new president-elect. I'd like to thank each and every one of you out there that voted for him, and I'd like to thank all you that voted for John McCain, too, because you at least made your voice heard. And that's what this country needs, people that are willing to express their opinions. So I'm willing to get comments either way. I'd like to talk first about the journey that I personally took to my decision of voting for Barack Obama. It wasn't a hard decision for me because I'm a hardcore liberal. I have been ever since I've been old enough to vote. But I wasn't dead set on Barack Obama from the beginning. During the primaries, when I watched the Democratic debates, I kind of decided that the majority of them only differed marginally on issues. So you just had to pick the person you thought would be the strongest candidate at the end of the race. So I decided Hillary Clinton was, in my opinion, the strongest candidate out of the pool of Democratic candidates. And I wasn't that far off because she didn't make it very far in the primary. And she had a large influence on what the candidates did after that, which I think is very cool. So whenever Barack Obama ended up getting the presumptive nominee, I knew right away that I'd be voting for Barack Obama because I'm so liberal that I can't vote for somebody that disagrees with me that much. If there were a somewhat liberal conservative, which honestly John McCain would have been if he would have stayed the same John McCain once he became the nominee, then I may consider voting for him. Because whenever John McCain was the presumptive nominee and it was between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama still, I was excited because I thought that this might be the first election that I get to choose between the two better presidents and not the president that's not as bad. Because that's what I've done for the last election, which is the only one I've voted in thus far as presidential elections go. But I was excited because I knew that John McCain was a good candidate. I knew that his policies weren't polarly opposite from mine because he was, in his earlier days, somewhat of a maverick, and he voted against his party many times. However, once he became the presumptive nominee, he became a lot more conservative, like drastically more conservative. And I don't know where it came from, but it wasn't the John McCain that I had gotten to know many years from watching The Daily Show. And I just couldn't vote for somebody. I couldn't even consider voting for somebody that was not himself, that became somebody else because he wanted to be president. That's not the kind of message I want to send to people that that's what will get you into the White House. So then I landed, as I had presumed, on Barack Obama as the candidate that I'd be supporting. With all of this said, what made me upset as a West Virginian was that West Virginia did not vote for Barack Obama as the state. What bugs me about that is I wanted so badly for the state of West Virginia to vote for Barack Obama because it could tell the country once and for all that we're not a bunch of racist rednecks. And I hate it that that message wasn't sent on November 4th. And I almost feel like the opposite message was, and to be honest, as a West Virginian, I'm not completely surprised that that's the message that was sent. It's a challenge to live here, being as liberal as I am, and being aware of the fact, now painfully aware of the fact, that there's people here that disagree this strongly with me. And even if they don't disagree with everything with me, they won't vote for a black man, which I think is ludicrous in this day and age. I am excited right now because of Barack Obama. He doesn't agree on every issue with me because, like I said, I'm very liberal. The policies that he isn't excessively liberal on, things such as gay marriage and other issues in that area, I disagree with him slightly. But I feel like he's going to be a great president, and I personally feel like he's going to bring us into a new age of America, because we have, for the first time, an African-American president, which I think is very exciting. So it's time to get into the show. Like I said, be sure to stay tuned for the end, because I'm going to be revealing the kind of things I've been working on for the past couple weeks. And there is no interview this week, but I have plenty of reviews, so stay tuned for that. music. For music this week, I'm going to talk about a little CD that I've been alluding to pretty much since the beginning of this show. And that's a CD called Radioactive by the band McFly. McFly, as I've said many times on this show, is a British band. They're a pop, really they're just a pop band. I was going to say pop rock, but they don't like being called that really. But they are a band that plays pop music. And they write all their own stuff, and they're a really cool band. Two vocalists, different things like that. I'm really into them. They're probably my favorite band of all time, ever. And I've been really excited about this new CD. I've explained the premise of why I'm excited before, but I'll do it again. This CD is released on Super Records. This is a big step for McFly because, as a pop band, they were signed to a major label in the beginnings of their career. Their contract was running up right before this album, and they made the decision that they had enough money to just start up their own record label and be able to do whatever they wanted to do with their music. Because they said that many times whenever they would make a song for their album and then submit it to the major record label, they'd be like, that's great, and they give it back to them and it sounded nothing like what they heard in their head whenever they wrote the song. So they wanted to start their own label so that their music could sound like they wanted it to sound. All of this made me very excited for it because I love McFly, the way they sound with the major record label's help. So I was excited to hear what they sounded like by themselves. And as it turns out, they sound pretty good on their own. The coolest thing about this CD to begin with is that there's tons of extras with it. First off, there is 13 tracks, which is pretty average for a CD these days. But, you know, every song was written by them, for them, and they're flawless. I'll get into some specific songs later. But another extra is a DVD comes with every copy of Radioactive. And it has a making of the album, where you're actually with them in the studio in Australia. You get to see their producer. You get to see some of the songs being put together, and it's really cool. And then accompanying that on the same DVD is a little video about them promoting Radioactive early on. We see the making of the video for One for the Radio, the first single off of it. Then there's the making of the video for Lies, which is this epic video that rivals things such as Thriller. And you know, we see them doing radio appearances, doing an interview for radio, TV stuff, playing for the Olympic torch ceremony, tons of stuff. And this is all included in the price of the regular CD. And the CD is no more expensive than a regular, is the average CD, which is pretty amazing. And like I said, the songs are really good too. The two singles off of it thus far are Lies and One for the Radio, the videos that you get to see making of on the DVDs. They're both really good songs. One for the Radio is about Fly's ongoing struggle of being taken seriously on the radio and how they don't care that much if people aren't that into them or they're just into singing their singles on the radio because at the end of the day, you like them and you just don't want to admit it because, like I said, as a pop band, they're not taken seriously by many people. The second single, Lies, has a really cool horn and guitar riff, and it's just, and when you see the video for Lies, you if you've not seen it, you have to look up on YouTube, Lies by the band McFly. It's like this 7-minute epic video, and you won't be able to get the song out of your head, and you won't be able to separate the song from the video, which is this amazing experience because the video is so great. But it's a really catchy, bordering on rock song. A few other highlights is a song called Do Ya, which is a very Beatles-esque song because it's just a verse and a chorus, and it repeats it, but it's insanely catchy. A kind of 80s song called Everybody Knows. A song called Falling in Love that's kind of Springsteen-esque. But every song is great. And the best part about it is that you get to see what they were thinking in the documentary for the making of the CD. For example, they talked about the process of what they wanted to make with each album. Like in the first album, you know, they just wanted to make a good debut. In the second album, they wanted to be more serious. In their third album, they wanted to bring the fun back. And then for this album, They talked about how they have a really great live show that there's a lot of energy and their fans seem to really love. They wanted to be able to bring that energy and that sound into a studio album. And I kind of think they accomplished that because most of the songs, like I said, there's some horns, but most of the songs are a guitar, a bass, another guitar, and a drum, and then the vocals, which is what you'd see in a live show. I think that's a brilliant idea for an album. I'm sure bands have done it before, but for a pop band like McFly, that's a pretty novel concept because, you know, most of their stuff is overly produced because they're a pop band. So overall, I recommend Radioactive to anybody. I understand that an import from the UK, if you're in the US like I am, is pretty pricey. I paid about $24 for this, but if you're in the UK, this is just about 9 to 12 pounds, depending on where you buy it at, and there's tons of extras. So, if you're into pop music whatsoever, you should definitely get McFly's Radioactive. It's worth the money, because in the States, you're not going to get a CD and a tour DVD for $24, and that's including shipping. So, it's definitely worth the price as an American if you're into this band or into this kind of music. If you're into looking behind the scenes of how a record's made, definitely get the CD because the documentary is just as great as the CD. I mean, I know that I'm a little biased because as I said in the beginning, I'm a huge McFly fan. They're my favorite band of all time. But this CD is legitimately amazing. I wouldn't lead you wrong on that because this is a great CD, a great pop CD, and just a great CD overall that I hope gets lots of success, lots of radio play, all that stuff. And I wish them the best of luck because, like I said, they're in charge of their own record label now. So, that's it for McFly. If you have the money, go for it. At the very least, check out the video for Lies, whether you're a fan of pop or not, because this video is something that you need to see at some point in your life. And that's that. Movies. This week for movies, I'm going to be talking about a comedy that came out a couple of weeks ago. It's a movie by Kevin Smith called Zack and Miri Make a Porno. It stars Elizabeth Banks, you'll probably remember as JD's girlfriend that he got pregnant, the doctor from Scrubs, and she's also Laura Bush in W. And then Seth Rogen, I'm sure, doesn't need an explanation, but he is in Superbad, Knocked Up, all those Judd Apatow things. He was in Pineapple Express. What I think is exciting about this movie is that I'm pretty sure this is the first movie that Seth Rogen did not write that he's in, but Kevin Smith did write it. It also stars Jason Mewes, who you know as Jay and Silent Bob. And I forget his name, but the guy who plays Randall from Clerks. Just in case you weren't aware that it was a Kevin Smith project, I guess he thought he should throw those people in there. So first things first, there should be a little bit of a disclaimer on this movie. If you're not into the kind of stuff that's in the title of this movie, you probably shouldn't go to it. It's a little visual, to say the least. But underneath all of this is a very true story between two people that have been friends for a long time and what they do to get over their financial troubles. I think this is a really great movie. It's really funny, like really, really funny. You'll laugh throughout most of the movie. And I think that a lot of people that are around the age of their characters, which is, you know, about 10 years after high school, you'll see something that you can relate to, especially if you haven't done that much with your life past high school. I think that Kevin Smith did a really great job with this script. I like pretty much all of it. I think it's hysterical. And the cast is very strong, too. I think that Seth Rogen did a really great job. He's not like every other character he's ever played. I mean, he's definitely an everyman still, but he does a great job. He delivers the jokes perfectly. Elizabeth Banks is amazing. And you kind of forget how attractive she is because of the things that she's done, but she is lovely. And this is just a really great movie. A lot of my friends have said that it's felt rushed, but to me, I didn't really feel that way because I had such a great time while I was in the movie theater. I didn't really even think about the pacing of the movie. I can see what they're talking about looking back. Like, there are some moments where you feel like this part of the story was left behind or this happened or whatever, but I feel like it gets across this great message and is a lot of fun to watch. This may possibly be one of my shortest movie reviews ever, but there's not a lot to say about it because I want to stay away from spoilers because there is some stuff that happens in the movie that you don't see coming, so I'm not going to allude to it, but you'll know what I'm talking about later. So if you want to talk about the movie later, about the stuff that I feel we're talking about right now, feel free to let me know. And you can email me at fans@supercoolstuffshow.com, and we can have a hardcore discussion about Zack and Miri. But besides all that, I would strongly recommend this movie to anyone out there. Zack and Miri Make a Porno. It's in all theaters right now, I'm sure. It'll probably be there for a while because, like I said, it's a really good movie. Check it out. Recommendations. For recommendations this week, I'm going to recommend a graphic novel called Midnighter. I'm sure most comic fans out there have read it already, but I actually have not, and I am a big comic fan. And I'm in the process of reading it right now, but here's why I'm recommending it, even though I've not read all of it. They're going to be making a movie about it very soon. Like, it's coming out not that long from now. And this is a big-time graphic novel. Like, it was in the New York Times 100 Greatest Novels Ever, and things like that. So you should definitely check it out. And the movie looks amazing. Like, I feel like most people would regret it if they saw the movie and had not read the graphic novel. Because, I don't know about you guys, but for me, whenever I see a movie that's based on a book, then I have very little intentions of reading the book. Simply because I have a vague idea of what happened in it because of watching the movie. I don't know what that says about me. Maybe it's that I just don't like reading unless I gain something extra from it. But I love reading whenever I've not seen the movie already. So, if you're like me and you have trouble reading books that you've watched the movie for already, read Midnighter, because I feel like this is going to be a great story. I've only read a couple chapters right now, but I can already tell it's going to be really good, and I'm really excited about seeing the movie after reading the graphic novel. So, if you're going to jump on the bandwagon right now, I would recommend it. And pick up Midnighter and join all of us that are experiencing one of the best stories ever. So with recommendations out of the way, I have something to tell you, and it's about this podcast. Like I said at the top of the show, I had something to tell you about what I've been working on. I've been working on quite a bit as of late. Recently, I've made a supervillain musical, a very short supervillain musical called The Manipulator, to enter into a contest Joss Whedon's putting on for the Evil League of Evil from Dr. Horrible. And I've also been working on a reality show where I lose weight by eating healthy and exercising cheaply on things like Dance Dance Revolution and things like that, which will be revealed in that. And I'm also writing a internet sitcom a la The Guild about fast food. And here's the most exciting part. I've decided that I'm going to put all of this on the Super Cool Stuff Show. Like, it's going to be part of your subscription. If you're subscribed to the Super Cool Stuff Show, you're going to get this podcast, which I'm still going to make on a every other week basis. And then on the weeks that this podcast isn't made, like the other every other, is going to be one of these elements. Next week is going to be The Manipulator, the musical I made. And then the weeks to follow, first I'm going to show you the reality show, and then I'll be releasing the sitcom. And I'm also going to be blogging, because I've decided that this website is mine. It's in a blog format, and I'm going to try my hardest to reinvent online media. Because right now, there's a revolution going on around us. There's convergence in media. You know, like if you go to a newspaper's website, it'll look like a TV station's website because of all the video elements. And vice versa, if you go to a TV station's website, it'll look like a newspaper's website because of all the print stories. So I've decided, why even pretend like there's a separation? Why can't podcasts do that too? So, my podcast is going to be a blog / audio podcast / video podcast all at the same time. It's going to be this all-encompassing experience. It's going to vary from week to week, because one week it'll be audio, one week it'll be video, and then sporadically it'll be a print blog, which is about my commentary on issues. And I'd like to let you know right now that my blogs are not going to be a journal about I did this or I did that. It's going to be my opinion on issues and maybe like music reviews, things like that, that I don't want to put in this podcast for whatever reason. So if you're a fan of the Super Cool Stuff Show, this is an exciting time for you, because all of this stuff is going to be taking place at the website, which is www.supercoolstuffshow.com. Be sure to check that website out if you haven't already. If you're a fan of the old Podomatic website, this is going to be the last podcast on that feed. So, if you're subscribed to that feed, be sure to go to supercoolstuffshow.com and subscribe to the feed there, because you'll be missing out on everything from now on. And you need to bookmark supercoolstuffshow.com if you're a fan, so you can check out these blogs. I mean, it's no problem if you check it out once a week. That's fine. But be sure to check it out, because I'm going to be doing it pretty regularly, maybe, you know, once a week or so, be blogging something substantial. And, you know, be looking forward to this sitcom and this reality show, because I'm trying to make a website that showcases every aspect of what I can do. Because I'm into acting, I'm into hosting, I'm into, you know, losing weight, because I haven't for so long. And I just want to display myself in the most all-encompassing manner possible. And I feel like this is something nobody's done before, and I hope that I can make something new with this, and that people can appreciate all media in the same way. Because I feel like there's different places for all this stuff, but we experience it essentially the same way. Because I know that many people listen to podcasts as they run or as they are in their car, and they watch videos, you know, while they're on their computer, and then they read blogs, you know, different places too, because of news feeds and things like that. So I definitely want all of you guys to be here with me, hang on, and just join me on this wild ride that I'm on, and just help me make this one of the best internet experiences that anyone has had, because I'm doing something different and something new that I think people will really grasp onto. So just join me in this ride, and then you can say you were there for this crazy ride that may be reinventing all of media. Ways you can jump on: you can donate to this podcast, which is on the right-hand side of the Super Cool Stuff Show website. You can email me at fans@supercoolstuffshow.com. If you want to use segments of this podcast or any other previous podcast I've done, you can send me an email at permissions@supercoolstuffshow.com, and I have no problems with that. If you want to use any of this for, like, college radio, anything like that, I'm more than happy to let you use it, especially the past interviews. I'm still looking for a logo, so if anybody out there wants to design a logo for the Super Cool Stuff Show, feel free to do that. Send that my way. I'm more than happy to use any fan-generated content, because I don't have any yet. And I have a very, not exactly a forum, but a message board on my site. Feel free to post topics there. We can discuss about stuff there, too. All right, so join me next time. Next week, I'll be posting the musical, The Manipulator, on here. It's only about 6 minutes or so, but I like it a lot. I think it's cool. Original song, all that stuff. And just stay tuned for what's coming out next, because you never know what's going to be coming on the Super Cool Stuff Show. Because that's what I want to be doing. All right, see you next time.